Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
And I want to thank you guys for coming this morning and doing this. For our call to worship, Psalm 103, some of you may have memorized this, so if you have, say it along with me where you are. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost beings, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, that's his blessings. Praise the Lord, all ye heavenly hosts, and you, his servants, who do this will, praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So we want to praise him today. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, as we gather here this morning, we just ask your blessing. We ask that we come in a spirit of humility and confession. We ask, Father, that as we continue to do these services online, that you would bless the congregation and the friends of our congregation. We pray for health. We pray for encouragement. We pray that in some way, Father, your spirit will connect with ours to know that you are here with us no matter what we face. And Father, we will be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. will be still and behold him. As the musicians are settling, and I want to thank them again for leading us in worship today. And we're going to be looking at a familiar chapter today, Luke chapter 19, starting at verses 28 to 44. We don't use that word behold much anymore, and all it means is to simply look at what's right in front of you. Behold. And it's a simple word, and yet it's complex. So I want to ask a question this morning. Have you ever experienced looking for something when it was right in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
Right? For example, if you wear glasses or sunglasses, you look all over for them, discover they're on top of your head. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Or you're looking for something to write with, and you have your pen already in your hand. I mean, these are just some of the experiences that I've had where something could be right in front of us and we just don't see it for whatever reason. So I want to just ask a question this morning. Can you imagine the King of Kings right in front of us and not recognizing him? This is what happened on that day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem that we call Palm Sunday. This was such an act of courage for Jesus. Jesus had a price on his head at this point. The religious people wanted him out of the way. The politicians were looking for a way to silence him. They were plotting to kill him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And for Jesus now, for the first time, to publicly declare that he's the King of Kings was a big deal. If you recall earlier in the Gospels, he always told people, it's not the time yet. It's not the time. So here's the time. When people are gunning for him, when people want to get him out of the way, he rides into Jerusalem in a triumphant way, announcing that he's King of Kings. And you might think the story ends there, but it doesn't. I want to just read some of the verses for you from Luke 19. It says, after Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany on the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say the Lord needs it. Those who were sent went ahead and found it just as he had told them. And when they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Wow. The first thing I really want to just emphasize with us is sometimes we're oblivious to what's right in front of us because we're not prepared to see it. I can't emphasize this enough. Jesus obviously knew the man who was going to lend him the donkey, the colt, for the ride into Jerusalem. We'll talk about why a donkey in a minute. But it seems to me that once he heard from the disciples that the Lord needs it, it was kind of a password to the owner to say, okay, take it and go. So, when the disciples went to untie the colt, everything happened as Jesus. Now, some of you who have read the Bible might say, some of the other Gospels say that it was two donkeys, the mother and the young colt. And that's fine. It wasn't unaccustomed that the mother would accompany a young colt no matter where that colt went. The other thing to notice here is that the colt was never ridden. He was never broken in, if I could put it that way. And so you might think, how's Jesus possibly going to do this? You know, this colt's probably going to throw him. Well, look at what happens here. When he came near the road that goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. That's kind of important here because even though they were praising Jesus as with a king's entry, if I could put it that way. They were looking for a king that was going to come and militarily defeat their enemies. They thought, oh, our problems will be over. We'll get out from under the oppression of Rome. Jesus will set all things right. And so not only that, they were kind of impressed by his miracles. The sad part is many of them didn't see what was behind the miracles. They didn't see the love of Christ for them. They didn't see the miracles pointing to the glory of God. They didn't see the miracles as a signpost to say that I am the Messiah, the one who came to save you, not from your enemies, but from yourself, because our enemy is sin. Every one of us is born with a terminal disease. It's called sin. And it's ironic because in these next couple of weeks in the Easter season, we need to talk about that. We are born with the same rebellious attitude that Adam set up in the Garden of Eden. And in that attitude, we are sinners by nature. And that's the disease that we all bear. There is no cure for that disease. The only cure is coming to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because he was the only one that can pay that penalty for us completely and once for all through his blood, through his broken body. And so you have a lot of misconceptions going on here where Jesus comes riding in and people are praising him for the Messiah that they were expecting, not the Messiah that they needed. And he was right in front of them the whole time. I want you to look what happens here. Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. And you say, well, gee, you know, in our day and age, that would be like our president coming into town in a Kia Soul. You know, you say, well, he deserves better than that. Well, there was a lot of symbolism in this. Back in the culture of Jesus, when kings rode into towns on white horses, they just won a big battle. They just took the spoils and had captives and all. But when a king came riding into town on a donkey, it was a sign of peace. A donkey was considered a noble animal back then. It wasn't considered just a work animal. It was considered a noble animal. But a king riding on a donkey culturally showed that the king comes in peace. The king of peace was in their very presence. He rode this donkey that had never been ridden before. And I don't know how many people knew that, at least his disciples knew that. And that should have made an impression on them because he was even sovereign over the donkey's nature. He was the king. He rode in on a donkey. And what they did was, and this was traditional back then, whenever a king entered the town, they would take palm branches and clothes and lay them in the path to make the way smooth and to show honor to the king coming in. And I think Jesus did it this way to give the people a visual illustration, people for all time, and understand that Jesus is the Messiah, but he comes as the King of Peace. A lot of churches in the area that have roadside signs, occasionally they'll put up "No, Jesus," "No Jesus." No, I'm referring to that "KNOW Jesus," "No peace," and in other words, "KNOW peace." If you know Jesus, you will know what peace is. And so he came to announce that he was the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, and he wanted to offer peace, anybody who would receive him by faith. But that didn't happen. It happened with a few, but it didn't happen with the great majority. Listen, here's how it went. They were yelling, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That's the highest praise, by the way, back then you can give somebody. And look at this, the religious people, some of the Pharisees, in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Can you imagine? The Pharisees, who knew Scripture better than anybody else, couldn't even see who it was that was in front of them, the King of Peace. They wanted the disciples to rebuke the teacher. Jesus replied, I tell you, if they kept quiet, the stones would cry out. You get the image? If the people weren't praising Jesus, his creation would. And there will be a day when that happens. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it. That's a sad verse. He wept. He wept over it. Because here he was, God in the flesh, the King of the universe, the King of peace, right in front of his own people. And most of them rejected him. And he wept. And he predicted that judgment would be coming. That's what happens here. Let me finish this with you. It says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring peace to you, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Those are strong words. And for those of you who have studied the Bible and biblical history and the history of the time, you know that 70 years later, this all came to pass. Because Jerusalem was destroyed. It was a judgment. So I need to ask some tough questions this morning. And here's the questions I need to ask. First of all, do you know the Prince of Peace? Have you seen him? Have you met him? In your heart, do you know him? He's here. He's here in spirit. He's here through his word. Do you know him? One of the things that has been impressing me about the time in which we live right now with the COVID virus is this. I don't know why this is happening. I don't pretend to know. I wouldn't even speculate, but I do know this. It's forced us to slow down. It's forced us from our normal routine. In some cases, it's forced us to have time on our hands. How are we using that time? Are we using that time to be alone with Jesus, for those of us who are Christ followers? Are we using that time to read his word, to be encouraged, to feed our hearts with the word of life? Are we using that time to fall deeper in love with Jesus? These are all critical questions today, because in this time of unrest, in this time of confusion, in this time of anxiety, there's no peace apart from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I can't emphasize this enough. God has his reasons for allowing this to happen. I don't pretend to know why. But I will say to you as a pastor, I think for many years he's been trying to get our attention. For many, many years. To say, hey, stop taking me out of the picture here. I'm still God. Stop, you know, come, take time, slow down. Read my love letter to you, my Bible. Worship. Come to know the King of Peace. He's the only peace this world will ever know. You see, yet in this country, attendance in normal circumstances, or church attendance in the evangelical church keeps declining. In our country, we see very little activity in prayer meetings. We've accepted a model of discipleship that only produces superficial changes in people rather than transformational changes from the inside out. So as we all know, this Sunday is not just another typical Palm Sunday. Tomorrow, you and I will be home. But that doesn't mean it's not Palm Sunday anymore. That doesn't change the course of history. And it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. We're faced with some serious circumstances these days. You and I need the King of Peace in our lives. This comes by faith in Christ alone and submitting to Him, His Word, and the Holy Spirit. The question is, will we do it? I was watching one of the cable networks this week, and I told you last week or the week before, I like some of the old programs. I watch Game Show Network, some of the old game shows. I watch MeTV and all. And, you know, some of that's lighthearted comedy. Most of it, it doesn't get vulgar like it does today. And one of the stations I was watching, a cable network station, came on and said, look, we know you're all at home, and we want to entertain you this weekend, kind of get your mind off of what's going on. And I'm saying, okay, what are they going to do? Are they going to play maybe I Love Lucy's or something like that? And it wasn't a station like that. It was a station that generally did dramas and all. And they said, all weekend long, we're going to give you a program, one of the Law and Order programs, SVU, Serial Killers. And I'm saying, what? This is what we need this day? Serial killers? Even in a crisis like this, the world is going upside down. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need peace. And the only peace comes through Jesus. Let me encourage you not to neglect the reading of the Word, not to neglect worship, not to neglect services like this that are online. They're meant to encourage your heart. But I can tell you with all confidence, one way or another, we're going to get through this. We will get through this, and we can do it peacefully because Jesus is the King of Peace. I have to admit my patience was tested a little bit yesterday. I sat in a drive-in at a bank because you can't go into the banks anymore. And I was kind of online in the back, and the line wasn't moving, and it wasn't moving. And there were two lines, and I'm saying, why do I pick the wrong line? Does that ever happen to you? Well, you know, why do I always pick the whole line? And I found my blood pressure going up, and, you know, I'm just saying, should I wait? Shouldn't I wait? You know, is it going to be any different later? You know, you don't know the answers to those questions. But what I did was I got my phone, and I started going over the notes for my message today. And I just said, well, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit who prompted me. Well, you better practice what you preach. Focus on Jesus, not on the line. Focus on Jesus, not on the line. So I'm going to urge all of us to focus on Jesus, not on the news. Focus on Jesus, not on the problems of cabin fever. Focus on Jesus, because one way or another, Jesus is going to get us through. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to come to the Lord's table now. And those of you at home watching this, if you want to participate, all you need is a small glass of juice or something like that and a piece of bread, and we can participate together. But the table, the Lord's table, is a place of communion. Now, most of us, I think, miss being together. We miss the fellowship of the saints. We miss coming together at times like this. And believe me, I miss it also. However, at least in this way, we can come and celebrate the Lord's grace in our hearts. And so, it wasn't until what we call Good Friday, the last Passover that Jesus suffered, he wanted to use the elements as an illustration. And he took the bread first, and he told his disciples, who were still a little bit confused as to what's going to happen next, still unsure about what this was all about, and he uses it as an illustration, and he says, took the matzah, he broke it, and he said, this is the symbol of my body, which is going to be broken for you, because I love you. He says, whenever you do this, do this in remembrance of me. So as you take the broken bread, would you do this in remembrance of Jesus' broken body? Would you take it, please?
As we break this bread, as we drink this cup,
This is a time for us to reflect, to confess sin in our lives that we need to confess. Very specifically, by the way, Jesus knows already, but he wants us to come to him in humility, in confession, and repent from the sin. Ask him for help not to do it again. And turn away from that sin, turn back to him. Because that sin was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. And then what Jesus did in the Passover, he took the cup of redemption and used that as another object lesson, if you will. Because the scripture says, without the shedding of blood from a sacrifice acceptable to God, there's no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus said, in preparation of the cross, this cup represents his blood, which he will shed for you and me, his very lifeblood, so that the penalty for our sin will be paid once and for all, past, present, and future, so that through faith in him we can have forgiveness, new life, new purpose, new hope, and peace. And Jesus said, when you drink this, do this in remembrance of him. Would you drink, please?
As we break this bread, as we drink this cup, Lord, it was for my sin that your flesh was torn. Lord, we remember this is the way.
As the praise team gets set up, we're going to end our service today with a great song called Amen. If you know what Amen means, it's very simple. It means so be it or let it be. So we pray what God said today through the music and through the word we can say Amen to. Thank you for watching. Thank you for all those who allow us to come into your homes via Facebook. The service will be posted also on our website, so you might want to hear it tomorrow if you didn't catch it today. I want to thank you guys for coming. Thank you for your ministry. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Let's pray. God, would you help us today be a blessing to others? Would you please help us to spend time with you? And Lord Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, give us the power and the desire to look to Jesus for our peace in these trying times. And we'll give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you all.